All right, if you're just joining us, you're joining into news now. We've got some problems with the ad. So we have in the studio with us Logical from Mute Screams, the Stolen from Africa movement. We also have JadenFinch.com, Mark Sims, and Paul Nguyen. What we're trying to do is do a recap and wrap-up of elections and address certain issues within our community, why we don't vote, what's stopping us, and how these young leaders are being effective in their communities for the future. How are you guys?
Doing good today?
Doing good.
I know it's crazy this studio. It's always crazy after Zion Trade. But Logical, can you give our listeners a little bit of what you do and after JadenFinch.com can give it away?
Okay, well, basically I'm part of an organization that I started out with my homeboy, Unknown Misery, Mute Screams Entertainment, Stolen from Africa is basically the clothing line that we've basically been pushing around the city to provide cultural awareness and to, you know, get youth thinking about issues. Now, what we've done to engage the community, we started our high school tour, going around the GTA, using hip-hop culture to promote awareness. And we've also been working with Blockheads, who's also been, we also started a community thing within Rockcliffe Middle School. So that's been, you know, pretty cool. So, yeah, we're doing, like, a lot of things still, yeah.
And JadenFinch.com, you guys have been doing a lot of election coverage. Can you share with our listeners some of the obstacles that the site has faced?
We did a lot of interviews, video interviews with the local councillor candidates for Ward 8. And we're hoping that the youth that do come to our website, check out the videos and listen to what the candidates have to say.
Yeah, we're encouraging the community to come out and show their support. I mean, this is voting season. This is a chance for everybody to get, you know, their word out there, and it's up to them to come out and vote.
All right. I know this has been a crazy show. We're trying to do a lot. We've got a lot of key lead players that I'm trying to get mobilized to talk about the issues. Now, JadenFinch.com is from Jaden Finch. Logical, which community are you from?
Egg West, Little Jamaica, you know what I mean? Oakwood all day, you know.
So that's York Square?
I believe, so the city of York, yeah.
Okay. We also have Buna Mohammed with us on the phones. He is a director of community engagement for the youth cabinet, that's City of Toronto. Hi, Buna, are you with us?
Yeah, what up? I'm good. Yo, what up, Logic, ThinkCam, everybody? I'm happy to be here.
We're still trying to get Ankem on the phone. She's calling into the studio, so hopefully that will happen soon. Can you give our listeners a little bit of background information of what you're doing in the youth cabinet and why is it important that that there is somebody there doing your job?
Well, basically, I joined the Toronto Youth Cabinet about a year and a half ago, and the Toronto Youth Cabinet is actually... Pardon? Hello?
Sorry, no, go ahead, Buna.
Yeah, sorry. The Toronto Youth Cabinet is actually the official lobbying voice for youth at City Hall. So it acts as pretty much a baby City Hall to the youth in Toronto. So my position on the Toronto Youth Cabinet is community engagement. And what I do is I reach out in the community and get these youth, especially youth from these priority neighbors, especially black youth in particular, to City Hall, because the Toronto Youth Cabinet, like the municipal election, faces the issues of not being represented fairly by the representation of the city. So it was actually my mandate this year to increase that number, and I myself faced a lot of resistance when I joined, so I knew how it felt. So I made it a mission, and through things like the high school tour that I do with Logical Ethics and Unknown Misery through Poor Man Militia and the whole Stolen from Africa movement, we go from high school to high school using entertainment and education, we call edutainment, to increase the amount of youth presence at City Hall and therefore increase the amount of youth turnout at elections.
All right, so let's get this ball rolling with the conversation. It's about elections we're discussing. I want to really look at why is it that young people aren't interested in elections and politics. Whoever wants to take it first, Logical, JadenFinch.com.
Because everyone feels powerless And that's why no one votes, because they feel as though if they do vote, it's not going to make a difference.
Yeah. And it's also how it's even, like, projected to us, you know what I mean? Like, you got guys in suits and ties, you know what I'm saying, which, like, clearly doesn't, like, look like me, you know what I mean? So, like, there's a whole, like, intimidation factor and whatnot, and just being screwed over continuously over time, you hear our parents talk about it, and it just goes back to the whole psychology. It's like, we really can't do nothing for ourselves, so we just have to basically just sit down and just take, like, the BS that's, you know, being pushed out to us, you know what I mean? So.
Now, we're all young leaders. Bona, did you have a
yeah, you know, just wanted to touch on what they were saying, but even, like, a person like myself who actually works out of City Hall, even I find that sometimes the bureaucracy and just all the white ties and all that stuff involved, just sometimes it's even intimidating for me, somebody who's already actively engaged, so I can only imagine what it's like for people who already have that kind of disconnect from the community. So, you know, just like everyone said, like, there's a real disconnect between the community people and the community leaders who are the elected officials that are supposed to be representing us.
All right. Now, you guys are all in the front line. You guys are working with youth, dealing with community, and trying to affect change. Mm-hmm. Now, living in some of our communities and facing the challenges that we face, wouldn't it be smart if we were more proactive? And how could we engage young people to be more proactive, especially when it comes to elections and the upcoming federal elections? Any comments?
I think it's gonna come, like, once again, that whole power issue. We gotta make a lot of the residents realize that they are the power, you know, power in the many. You know, we gotta also help a lot of the new immigrants that come to this country as well, because they don't seem to care about voting as well. Mm-hmm. It seems as though it's only the Italians in our ward that actually votes. You know, mm-hmm. We don't have any blacks or Indians, hardly any Indians or Orientals out there voting. It's just Italians, mm-hmm. And that's why we've had the same Italian man in office for our ward for the past how much? 20 years now?
21. Any comments,
Logica? That just like I was saying, like what we've been doing, like working with like Toronto Youth Cabinet, you know, Bonus going around, you know, high schools and just using like hip hop to like. Like, you know, bring about that kind of awareness, you know what I mean? Because that is popular culture, you know, it's like one of the largest youth movements out here. And, we just, you know, show them that, like, yo, like, we can definitely make a change, you know what I'm saying? There's always strength in numbers. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, no matter, like, how much times they try to, like, portray it to us, like, we can definitely, like, take control of our own lives. And that's the whole disconnection factor that they want to hold. You know what I mean? They don't want community engagement, you know what I'm saying? Like, and when I say, like, they, I mean, like, the people's in power and position of change that do not make these changes.
Mm-hmm. Now we have a candidate that's running for Eglinton Square, the young man, Keith Sweeney. We've had him on the show.
John Knowles. Yeah.
And he's brought a lot of interesting ideas. For instance, the raise that city councilors are going to be getting is about $8,000. He wants to put it back into the community. He's really eager to find a community space for the young people to have access to. There's no community center within that area, just high schools. So what are some of the key points we should look in a candidate to be reflective of our issues and what we want to get done?
Well, Sabrina, I actually just wanted to add quickly that even touching on what we were just discussing earlier, I think one thing that people really forget is that the number of youth that vote, regardless of black youth, white youth, whatever, the number of youth is under 25%. And in municipal elections, I think it's even worse. It's something around like 15% of youth in general actually vote. So as much as I think it's a problem for black youth and youth from minority neighborhoods and young people in general, I think it's an overall problem. And I think one thing that we really have to start doing is educating our elders and educating the seniors, because they're the ones that make up most of the voters anyways. We got to educate our grandparents, our uncles, our aunts, our parents, whoever, to the issues and let them know, like, what the real perspective is, you know what I mean? That's just something I had to throw out there. That's like a little pet peeve of mine. My bad.
So JaneFinch.com, what are the qualities that a candidate should have for communities like Jane and Finch, like places out in Scarborough, like Regent, like York Square? What are some of the qualities that we should look for in a candidate?
We should have a candidate who shows up at the local debates and meetings. We should preferably a candidate who, you know, maybe lives in Jane and Finch or grew up there, so they'd have a better understanding of the community.
Which is similar across the board.
Yeah,
somebody who's connected with the community they're representing.
and just someone who, you know, you're always talking about the youth being proactive. We need a politician that's proactive in engaging the youth.
That's right.
And, you know, reaching out and making voting appealing to the young people out there.
Yeah, and just to be visible, man, because a lot of times these, like, people in positions are just nowhere to be found, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, hunt them down, send emails or whatever. Like, they should be, like, extremely accessible, you know what I mean? You should just see them walking down the street and just stop them and be, hey, we need this kind of change that's happening. And, like, yeah, like, I mean, just access, really.
It's funny how they only show up when their job is on the line.
See.
You know what I mean? That's the job of politics, man. Like, that's how
we don't want to vote, man, because we see the actions, you know what I mean? It's like, well, why am I going to vote for this person? It's going to be the same result, you know what I'm saying? So it just discourages us, and, you know, we just forget it totally, you know what I'm saying? And plus, we have other social issues to deal with, like, you know, going to school or paying rent or taking care of younger siblings or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different distractions which will, like, you know, like, push us away from that, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
I was gonna say that I think the biggest asset for any person in public office is to actually be aware of the issues facing your constituents. I mean, it's one thing to actually be from the community, it's another to just know the issues. I don't care if you live in my neighborhood, as long as I tell you something and you listen to me and you take it like fact and you act on it like fact, if you build it as though it's a reality, then that's cool with me, you know what I mean? If these politicians will really put their ego and money and all that stuff aside and take what the community has to say and put it into action and put it into effect, that's to me the biggest thing. Like, if they can really feel the pain and struggle that we're dealing with, and even if they don't feel it, they can sympathize with it and hopefully do something with it, then that to me is the biggest thing, just understanding the issues and being able to act on it.
All right. Now let's get to some candidates with the mayoral candidates here. That's the hardest to say. So, okay, we've got David Miller, and let's just deal with David and James. I think that's who we should really deal with here.
I think if anything, maybe Logic could even bring up, we were at a debate recently, the debate that took place at U of T, and, like, that was just a mess. Like, that whole thing was a mess. But, like, it was really, really funny because you have a cat like David Miller, who we all know is, he's pretty popular amongst the community. I mean, he's a card-carrying NDP, so people automatically assume, yeah, he's down. But then you have somebody like Jane Pitfield, who a lot of people don't know, whose husband is actually, I believe, the CEO of Scotiabank, so she's already balling. She's rich no matter what. But then you have her and David saying stuff, and all she does is say, well, David, you're a liar, David, you're this, and anything she says, first, any comment she makes begins with, like, trying to belittle him. So, like, it really kind of seemed immature on her part. Like, her whole campaign is just built around David is bad, and I don't really know what her mandate is. I don't know what she wants to do. I just know she does not like David Miller.
Well, there's the other side of that, too. There's the side that a lot of people are feeling that David has said a lot of things, promised a lot of things, but there's still no action. So could this be a chance for voters to kind of scare, quote-unquote, David into doing his job to be more proactive?
I think, personally, that she has been that force. She's kind of been an enforcer. Just she's putting David in check. I think, if anything, I wouldn't like her to be mayor, but I think she's done a good job in putting David in check and being like, yo, these are the reasons why some people aren't feeling you right now. Mm-hmm. But to put it on the table, who is really feeling her? Like, let's be realistic. Like, her policies and the things she wants to implement, she wants to model the homeless system. She wants to model what they've done in New York with the homeless,
mm-hmm.
which is already, like, if you want to take points from New York, one of probably the worst places to live in the city, in the world, just in terms of social, like, social atmosphere and social injustices that occur
mm-hmm.
there, like, already you're off the wrong track, you know what I mean? So I agree, like, David Miller's not perfect. He has done a lot of things that have let down the community's trust, but I'm still willing to, I'm willing to choose his poison as opposed to hers, which I know will be deadly and lethal within, like, 5 to 10 minutes.
So the problem with that now is that the ones that are voting are the ones that are leaning towards Jane. The ones that act like they vote or want to be progressive don't vote, and those are the ones leaning for David. So what's going to happen on the 13th?
Well, seriously, I think the truth is that all the people running for mayor right now, they're all bad. And the reason why I say that is because our voter turnout is so low.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we reflect what our government is, the people. And because we have no people voting, that's why we have no real good government out there right now. You know?
How about looking at candidates? Okay, we're dealing with city councilors right now, so there's no connection with a party that they're affiliated with.
Now let's look at candidates that do have affiliation with a party, NDP, Liberal, and Conservative. What platform or which party can benefit communities like ours more than other parties? Like, should we be looking at, okay, the Liberals have helped our parents with immigration, and therefore let's continue on with supporting them, or should we start looking at a different government, NDP, Conservatives being the other options? What do you guys think?
I think personally, in a municipal election now, if any time is the only time to stay away from party affiliations and look at people as individuals, I think we actually have the opportunity to see them as themselves, especially in the ranks of like councillors. But we all know, like all of them, at least most of them, have political affiliations. Like David Miller, he's an NDP. So is Keith Sweeney. He has a lot of NDP affiliates. I personally vote NDP, so I have nothing wrong with that. But I think when people get boxed into the whole, oh, my parents are, because a lot of our parents, they have allegiance to the Liberals because of what Trudeau did, you know what I mean? But it's like, we got to stay away from that mentality because they'll just rely on us, and they use us because they know they can rely on our vote because we're so allegiant, and they can just get away with crap like that. So I think it's definitely very harmful and detrimental for our society if we just strictly rely on these cards and not the individual people.
Of course. Logical, any comments?
No, I fully agree with what Bone is saying, man. He could have said better myself. Mm-hmm. You don't know.
Now let's look at certain issues. For instance, you've got an $84 million shortfall that's just miraculously been, you know, compensated somehow for the Board of Education. Then you've got $82 million into the super jail. You've got $2.5 million from the McGuinty government for cameras in strategic inner city locations. More cops on the street, less programs. Where's the balance? Like, where can we find a middle ground with all these gains?
Well, I think the government should start, pouring the money into the people and not to other, like, government agencies or officials to police us, to throw us in jail, and, you know, we're, like, being herded around like prisoners.
To control us and isolate us.
And to fill up their youth jail in Brampton.
Well, and this is all strategic, in my opinion. I mean, you've cut all these programs a couple years before, suddenly, oh, there's money going to be put into a super jail. Conveniently, that's when... dropout rate's so high, crime is so high, so don't worry, we'll fill up the jail because we've made sure that we set the communities up for failure to make sure that there's numbers in there. Now,
I don't even know if you know, sorry to interrupt, but there's actually been another $45 million put aside for a police shooting range.
Great.
Just a place where they can bust off shots when they're having fun, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, not even just that shit. Now they're putting us in jail, they're practicing on how to kill us, and then they're making sure we're not out of school. It's like, honestly, it's a continuum cycle. It's a vicious cycle because it's going to actually hurt them in the long run when men's are on the streets booking shots and might hit one of their daughters late night. You know what I mean? Like, on some real shit, like, that's what happens. Like, when people are oppressed for so long, like, they resort to certain acts of violence, and then they only start paying attention when it's one of their kids or somebody in their family they know that's affected by our problem.
We have Peter on the phone with us, who's got a comment, question, or concern. Peter, are you with us?
Yeah, I just have a comment. I mean, I don't really have much to say. I just don't want people to think that if you get three different people up there, then it's going to be different. You know what I mean? It's going to be the same thing. It doesn't matter who is mayor. It's the same thing. So people, don't make the mistake of thinking that if you get a different mayor, three different candidates, things are going to change. It's not going to. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. So what do you guys have to say to that? I mean, with that kind of thinking, then there won't be any progress, right? So, So what can we say to, sorry about that, Buna.
You gotta scare me there.
What can we say to somebody like that when, you know, for instance, our community, we've had this person in power for 21 years. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine being the first wave of the first decade, trying to cause change, trying to make a difference, no change, continuous, same guy, two decades later, plus a year, still in power. So, I mean, I agree what he's saying with losing the hope.
I mean, like, really, like, who are these guys? You have to look at them as public officials. I, a constituent, have voted for you to represent me in office. So all they are is a mouthpiece for what I want them to say and what I want them to do. So if they're not doing what I want and what the community wants, then we have the power to revolt. That's, like, one of the basic keys of democracy. If your government's not doing what you want them to do, you have the power to revolt and remove him from office. So if us as a community are really so angry and so mad about whichever person is in office, we have the ability to do something about it. For us to say, oh, they're all bad. Yeah, no shit, they're all bad, but we gotta let them come in and we gotta tell them what they're doing so bad, because a lot of times they just suffer from ignorance. They just don't know any better. If nobody's telling them or nobody's teaching them, they're like little kids. Sometimes they just don't know the difference between right or wrong because they've been grown up and put into bubbles their whole lives. So I think even working at a city hall, I see that a lot. I used to just get mad and say, oh, they're all devils, but sometimes I look at them, I'm like, yo, you just really are dumb. Like, you just don't know what's good. Like, I gotta look out for you. So I think sometimes it's part of the community's job to teach these people what we're saying, and then when they still don't respond to it and they still act like that, then that's when we, you know, pull out the AK and start a revolution, like, straight up.
That's DJ Blair out there. I believe we have Nkem and Azur with us on the phones. Do we?
No, you don't.
We
no.
don't. Who do we have, though?
You have Seanette, and I represent, I'm a part of the new Black Youth Taking Action.
No problem. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. I just wanted to say one thing.
Please do.
I know everybody's kind of, you know, riled up, revved up, whatever, about the whole situation, but I've heard a couple comments about, you know, the police shooting and us turning around and being oppressed and wanting to turn around and shoot back and all this violence. We're not a violent people. The Black community, I'm talking about the African community, we're not a violent people, so I don't think we need to resort to that. However, in terms of the upcoming election, I like what the gentleman said before, the fact that we have three people who are running for mayor, three people who, well, one person in particular who we know hasn't done anything, or who's done bare minimum and has covered up everything that he's, you know, so-called trying to do.
So is this David? We're being very straight today on the show. Please, like, is it David you're talking about, or are you talking about LeDrew?
Yeah, David,
okay.
And then on top of that, we have Jane Pitfield, who basically just comes out of nowhere and starts, you know, bad-mouthing David Miller. So I don't know, I don't even know who the other person is that's running. That's how much, there's been no discussion about him, you know what I mean? It's just been about David Miller and Jane Pitfield. So the truth of the matter is, is it Bona that made the comment earlier?
Yes,
about
yes.
The fact that we need to rally as a community. So your program right now, we need to have a forum where people can gather, right, and meet and talk about what are the next steps. So we're going to get these two idiots, or one of these two idiots, one of these three idiots in power. What are the next steps? How are we going to rally people in order to, number one, educate them, to unite them, and to mobilize so that we can do something about what they're not doing, right, and fight for that cause. So as this election is coming, I think that's how people should be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we going to do? Because we are quite upset, angry, frustrated, but, you know, cameras are being put into our neighborhoods that really they're making out to sound like these are very violent neighborhoods. You know what I mean? And the truth of the matter is, a lot of that violence is coming into those communities from outside, from places like Woodbridge, from Richmond Hill, places like that, right? Where people who have nothing better to do at the time, youth, adults, whoever, come into these areas and they label these areas as high-risk neighborhoods. Period. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see, after the election, if we can, get together, educate ourselves about what the issues are, and unite.
Definitely. And I think a lot of, I mean, the guys in the studio with me, Buna on the phones with us as well, I think we all realize that somehow we need to be collective,
yeah,
and on the same page and educating ourselves instead of waiting for outside sources,
exactly,
to educate ourselves. A number that is very astonishing is one-third of the population. Youth are one-third of the voting population. That can sway government. And for once, we could have an active say, and people will be accountable to us because we are a collective force now. And, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, there's actually this Ontario Black Voters Coalition, Commission, whatever. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so the website is obvc.ca. I'm not trying to promote them, but what I'm trying to say is their supposed mandate is that they're supposed to be out there educating people about the upcoming election, you know, having voters understanding what they're voting for, who they're voting for, their rights, and all of that. I'd like everybody who's listening to the show to email them and ask them what they're doing right now, because I've emailed them many times asking them how are they out there supporting the black community and talking to people about the upcoming election. Because we're all, like, they're supposed to be representing our community, but they're not doing anything about it. So I'm really tired of hearing about these organizations popping up out of nowhere, representing our community, and they're not doing anything.
Of course.
But they're getting funding from the government to do something, right? That's disgusting to me, and that's a shame. So
actually, an interesting fact, like, I don't know if it's not really a fact, kind of like word on the street, but, like, I know that, like, from my past experience, an organization like that is usually put together by predominantly wealthy black individuals who don't necessarily represent the same priorities as people who are systemically affected by racism and poverty and such. So a lot of times they still represent that conservative old boy mentality because they're still trying to protect their capital and their interest and their finances at the end of the day. And I just wanted to touch on something really quickly, that what I said earlier, I didn't mean that violence is something that's predominantly the black community's, like, problem. I mean, it is a problem in the black community, but violence is something that stems from oppression and poverty and things that when your back's put against the wall, after so long you fight back. So I was just trying to make the point that if our people are treated this way, then violence is a repercussion. To every action, there's a reaction. So just to put that out there, I don't want anyone to just misinterpret that.
All right. Blessings. You guys, thank you very much for bringing this on, the topic up. And, you know, I hope that people continue to become conscious of what's going on in the city of Toronto, at least when it comes to the election.
Of course. Thank you, sister, so much for joining us.
No problem.
Did you want to stay on with the conversation? I mean, it's open right now in the studio. We're just addressing.
Well, I'm actually heading down to the Keith Sweeney office right now.
Yes.
I'm canvassing.
All right.
So all the people who, you know, are able to vote in Ward 12, vote for Keith Sweeney, all right?
Yes, please.
Please.
Thank you so much for your time, hon. Take care. Bona, don't leave us.
I'm here.
All right. So, now, okay, there's going to be federal elections soon. Now, how is it that we can start changing this idea, the space of what elections is, and start to be more involved? How could we engage young people?
I mean, like, the presentation, man, like, how it's being presented to us. I mean, maybe we can, like, remix it and involve, like, hip-hop culture and just make it interesting, you know what I'm saying? Like, make it easily accessible and not confusing. Like, when you break down the whole structure of voting or people's empower or what have you, you know what I'm saying? Like, just the main thing is just the approach of how it's being presented, man. Like, that's a big key element right there.
All right. We have somebody on the phones with us. Hello?
Yes, hi, good night.
Comment, question, concern?
Just a comment.
Okay.
I think the gentleman who said before, I think somebody calling, because I'm having a little trouble picking up someplace sometimes while I'm driving, but I agree that if our community doesn't mobilize and come together, it doesn't matter. Year after year, when we vote, nothing is going to change. We, as a people, need to look around and see that we are falling behind. Our children, half of them are ending up in prison. They're being shot on the streets. But the shooting is not just a black thing, but it seems to affect us the most. We're, our future are dying right in front of our faces. And so far, I have not heard any of the politicians who are running for mayoral talk about real control, how to get the guns out of our children's hands, out of our community. And we do not need any more basketball courts. We do not need any more soccer courts. We need some real progress for our youth in our community so they can be educated and they can have a future to have a job. Because honestly, I'm a mother. I work for one of the stations. And when I look around at all these kids, when I'm driving in the city during the day and they're standing on the street corner, they're not in school, who's out there to talk to these kids, to show them that there's got to be another way, a better way? I mean, we are being affected in such a way. Why are we killing each other? We're not killing the people who, and I'm please don't get me wrong, what I'm saying is we're so angry, but we're only angry at each other. Why? And well, that's, you know, that's the only thing I wanted to say.
And I think that's the problem. Why we don't vote is because we've been hurt, not just within our own community, yeah, but outside forces that have burned us, and we're afraid to touch again.
Yeah, and that's even how like... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. We're going to have to swallow that fear. We've been through a lot. We're a strong, intelligent race of people, and we need to remember that. And I think until all of us sit down, take a book, figure out where we started, how we got here, we will always be in this predicament, feeling the shame of racism and slavery. And I've talked to a lot of people, and they still have this mentality. Oh, no, I'm not African. I'm not this, and I'm not that. Why are we always denying who we are?
Can I just touch on real quick? Man, that's even, like, just based to go off what you're talking about, and that's even how we started the whole Stolen from Africa movement. You know what I mean? We've been pushing those t-shirts across Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, and, like, you know, that's just one of the things to get people to think about real issues, you know what I mean? Like, the effects of imperialism, colonialism, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Just, like, the whole identity thing, because a lot of times youth are just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the roots have been severed from the tree, you know what I mean? You don't know what your identity is, and that's what it's all about. Going back to that is understanding where you stand and know that, like, we have, like, the power of change within us, you know what I mean? So, like, we got to, like, connect and mobilize together, man, whether you're in the streets, whether you're in the school system, you know, a professor, guidance counselor, what have you, man. That's what we got to do. Network, man. No one is
exempt. Brothers like you guys that are out there that is want to make a change, and I'm one who is there to support in any issues or any areas, and I think we need more people in our community to do that.
Real quick, sorry to cut you off. I mean, you can check out our website, stolenfromafrica.com, and that's basically like a message board form where we can just, you know, mobilize the community, talk about any kind of events that's going on, you know what I'm saying, like demonstrations, even if it's just like information that you have. Maybe you found like an article on the internet, you can post it there, and it's just a forum just to discuss issues that affect us in our community. Stolenfromafrica.com.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you very
much. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
I also wanted to just mention really quickly that even the whole thing with poverty and just like communities not being represented, there's not only the black community. Like in my work, I know that there's communities such as the Filipino community. There's a really big controversy around a shooting. Actually, the report came out of Jeffrey Rodica, who was actually gunned down by the police in Scarborough. Also, a lot of talk around the Tamil community. So I think as long as our community, as long as we link up with other communities, people that are affected by oppression everywhere together, if we ever came together, that would be the craziest, strongest force ever. And there's that old saying, I guess I think it was around the time when the Jews were, the whole Holocaust happened, and they said, you know, we never stood up, so when they came for them, we sat down. When they came for the other guys, they sat down. When they came for us, there was no one to stand up for us. So I think it's not even just a black or a white thing. It's people that are affected by oppression everywhere need to rise up, and they need to come together and work together for an issue like this, you know?
Sorry about that, Buna.
Okay. No, it's real, man. It's real right there. You know what I mean? If we don't stand up, who's going to stand up for us, man? That's why, you know, like I said, like, there's so many people have been doing things, and right now we got to, you know, communicate with each other and network, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone has something to contribute, man, to the movement, just, you know, society in general. And like you said, man, it's not just a black thing, man. It's an oppressive thing, you know what I mean? Like, we're all victims of oppression, like, in one form or another. So we got to, like, use all of our resources and just build together, you know what I'm saying? That's why you got Bone at, you know, the Toronto Youth Cabinet. You know what I'm saying? We're going around to high schools and just, like, using music and just hip-hop culture, man, just to, like, you know, get people to think about real things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And even talking about what Logic, picking up on what Logic was saying earlier, like, even in terms of how the education is administered, like, doing the whole hip-hop education thing, like, the turnout and the response we've got has been crazy. Like, I've been able to, like, increase the Toronto Youth Cabinet's membership, like, threefold in a matter of, like, 2 months just by doing what we're doing. Like, it's a lot of the times it is not the way the information is presented. It's,
okay,
it's not...
Sorry, go ahead. If you can wrap it up a little quickly, we've got a phone, Paul James on the phone, so if you can just wrap it up, Ona, because we got...
Well, let's bring in the caller. It's all good.
Okay, it's Paul.
Hey, what are you saying, guys?
What's up?
Listen, a lot of people didn't understand why BYTA this summer was so gung-ho about Caravana, right? And that's...
Ooh, the other side.
You know what I mean? And this is exactly why. This is exactly why. That's the time when over a million of us get together, but we don't get together for any political, economic, or social reasons. We only get there to just jump and dance and spend our money, and people exploit us. Right? And then when the election comes along, we're like wondering, like, I wonder who's going to win. All right? If the mayor had a million votes, if he had, you know what I mean? We could literally transform this entire city and this entire country. But, you know, we wait for a tragedy to happen. And that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a damn shame. And I'm very proud of Bona for, you know, speaking up.
Woohoo,
Bona!
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Boy!
You know what I mean? And I just heard you guys on, and I just clicked on, and I just said, yo, man, I got to get into this. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you for joining us, and with your comments. I do want us to look at one thing, kind of a reflective, no comment. Brother Kwame's got a piece to get on as well. A reflective piece. What makes communities like Ward 8, the Jane Finch area, Ward 12, like York Square, I can't call up the wards out in Scarborough, but like Malvern and them areas, that side. What makes those communities different than communities like the Rosedale communities and the downtown core? And, I mean, other than the social, economic, obvious, why is it that we are not taking control and being as progressive as those other communities? Because something's got to give. And I think it's the numbers when it comes down to it at the end of the day. We don't vote, so we don't care. So our representation, our councillor, our mayor, whoever it is, won't care about our issues if we
all
don't care.
It's all wrong. I think if at least 80% of the people out there went to vote,
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of the people running for mayor right now would be minorities instead of all white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a...
See, I have to say these things to pull out those answers, right? So, any last closing remarks, Paul?
We need to get a Jane and Fincher or someone from some other hood up in City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I got to say.
Logical?
I mean, we just, like I said, I don't know, man. We just need more community engagement. We just gotta, like, build. We have so much resources, man. We're so scattered, man. But we just gotta, like, connect, man. Every organization, man. Contact us definitely. You know we're down, man. The Stone from Africa movement. We everywhere, man. StoneFromAfrica.com, man. Let's get at us, man. Let's make some real changes happen, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, we up in City Hall, man. You know what I'm saying? We talk to these people, you know what I mean? So, that's only one step. I mean, I know it's a small change, but, like, you know what I mean? If we keep knocking at the door, man, eventually the door's gonna be kicked down, you know what I mean? So, that's what's up.
Buna, any last words?
Yeah, man. I just gotta say, you know, on the real, like, my motto for, like, life, but particularly for this whole community thing, is, like, step up or shut up. Because if you're not down to get on the front lines, if you're not down to do anything and help, if you're not down to be productive, then, yo, you're just being destructive and you're not doing anything. So, please, people, get off your asses. Stop complaining. Do something. Sign a petition. Go to a rally. Talk to your children. Talk to your brother and sister. Like, do something to make our community productive. And not only our community, but people that are affected by oppression everywhere.
All right, thank you for your last comment. All right, we're going to take a quick break.